SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. We'll call it hour three, just a couple of minutes ahead, and waiting to grab Peter Urton. And while we do that, let me slip in this Gladiator King storyline, because as I said last week when the field came together, you just don't know what you're going to get, per se, with Mejia. I mean, he throws everything at the wall, and he's had a couple of, you know, he's had a horse or two that... Yeah, that are talented and that, you know, that perform. He doesn't go at it judiciously, certainly. And you got to be prepared, you know, to kind of look at what the situation is. In this particular case, I mean, four horse field after the scratch of Lutzky, and yeah, you look at his one turn races, they were all, even when he was still a maiden, they were good. And you know, whether it was turf sprinting or on the main track. So, you know, I'll tell you what to do with this. Put a line, it's pretty funny. Put a line through, and granted, the Mucho Macho Man was a one turn mile, but put a line through all the two-turn races, okay? The Fountain of Youth. We're going to put a line through the Fountain of Youth. We're going to put a line through the Holy Bull. The Mucho Macho Man. And the Remsen. You do that, and you know, this is an exercise worth doing when you're looking at horses that are turning back from routes. And all of a sudden, this is a different looking horse. I mean, the career debut, he got buried. But then after that, 71 Buyer finishing second. Then he breaks his maiden, and then the allowance win. Then the Remsen didn't go well. Comes back in the inaugural at Tampa, wins that, folded the tent in the Mucho Macho Man. His worst sprint effort was in the Pasco. Then the Texas Glitter. So you look at this, 71 Buyer, 78, 77, 83, 62, 77 in the sprints. Even in the Pasco, a 62 Buyer, and then in the routes, a 46 in the Remsen, a 56 in the Mucho, a 40 in the Holy Bull, and a 42 in the Fountain of Youth. So, obviously, he's a sprinter. Wins by four, and takes the Hutchison. And of course, I know some people are looking to make the connection between this performance and the Fountain of Youth, where Hidden Scroll dueled with him. And I wouldn't necessarily... Hidden Scroll is Hidden Scroll, and he's going to have speed to deal with in the Florida Derby. Let's not... I mean, if he's going to revert, or if he's going to be, you know, winging on the front end, there's other speed he's going to deal with in that Florida Derby. So it's not as if, you know, just because Gladiator King won this race doing what he's meant to do, it doesn't demand that Hidden Scroll, you know, is going to romp in the Florida Derby. He might, but he's going to face some pace pressure. if that's going to be the approach. Anyway, this is a horse that Mejia has turned down, and they race under the Thoroughbred Champions Training Center LLC moniker. They've turned down real offers for this horse, and they've rebuffed it. And Mejia knows he's a nice horse. Now, ideally, he just sticks to the one turning. That ideally. So we'll see what happens next with him. I've got a case. Let me give you this. I think maybe. Let's see what, because he gave me the yes. Let me look at this. See if it's a different number than. No, that's the same. I think the 721. Is that the same one? I'll send him a note. Peter's a texter of few words. I'll send him that note. There we go. All right. So we'll leave that to you. The one race that from the weekend, one of the bigger part of the weekend that we haven't talked about was Chasing Yesterday. I was kind of saving it for a Baffert visit, and Chasing Yesterday, Drayden Van Dyke now making a little bit of a habit of these wide trips, and the race came back very slow, but Chasing Yesterday, despite being what, five wide into the first turn, and wide every single step, she, by the time she got to the stretch, she had pretty much, circled around and taken control. So she starts her 3-year-old season. Congratulations to Jane Lyon, and the Faro sister wins the Sumlin Park Oaks. Now we've got Peter Ertin, and Peter. There we go. There's Peter Ertin, and Peter, you're constantly making Brittany cry. Every time I look around, I see you winning races, and she bursts into tears.
Well, it makes me tears just seeing how much she enjoys it. And how could you ask for anything more than having your daughter involved in what you do and you get to see her on a regular basis? I'm pretty blessed there.
It was really nice. And the video that's circulating, for those that haven't seen it on Twitter, the cameras followed her from the winner's circle to that track, to the path from the paddock, and she went running to find you. It was tremendous. And of course, what prompted this was the 4-year-old debut of Core Beliefs. And Peter, what a nice win this is. What a great way to start the season.
Oh, thank you, Steve. It wasn't totally unexpected that he was going to be a good 4-year-old, but this early, coming off of a layoff like that, was a nice, pleasant thing to see.
You look at the numbers, and one of the things that I kind of like them going into this, and one of the things that you look at, I do anyway, I use Jerry Brown's Thorograph stats, and quality road offspring make major improvement from 3 to 4. And when I was looking at the level that he departed, when he left for the winter and had the winter off, the normal performance increase, a couple of points, almost 3 points worth of Thoroughgraph figures, would make him competitive with any of these older horses. And pretty much that's what you got. Talk about the winter off and how he's developed as a horse since the end of the season at Pennsylvania Derby.
He traveled an awful lot. I mean, he's a decent-sized animal in himself, but, when you get on a plane and you travel 3 or 4 times like he did and run against some of the better horses in the country, I think he was just a little tired towards the end of it. Turned him out for no other reason, just to let him develop and grow up a little bit physically to able to handle the older horses this year. That was our whole purpose for it, because we knew we couldn't just keep going. You know, he needed time off the track, and he got it. And, you know, not a long time, a couple months off, and then took him 4 months to get him ready again. But it was all kind of like a plan for him, and hopefully we can keep him fresh enough to go through the year, as long as we don't overrace him.
Well, one of the things that's very appealing about him, and the campaign that we saw from him last year, you know, he started all eight starts, something a little bit like Justify. He didn't start his season until January, and eight starts, and Peter, he never missed a check. He was never worse than fifth. That includes the Ohio Derby win, third to Justify and Bolt Doro in the Santa Anita Derby, which, you know, he basically force fed him a little bit there, because, you know, you were behind the eight ball for Derby points, and so you tried him in that spot. He was third. He was second in the Peter Pan. Then he wins the Ohio Derby, and you know, then, as you say, at the end of the year, he kind of tailed off a tiny bit in the Haskell and in the Pennsylvania Derby, but still was competitive. And he's one of the first four-year-olds to come back and win from last year's crop.
It's a long year, but you got to think about California. In the summertime, we're pretty much having to travel if we want to stay on dirt. I mean, it's pretty much all grass here from, you know, July on, and so having to get into a plane every race is just so taxing. But I didn't realize that that he was the first four-year-old to come back. But it'll be so much fun just to see what the future has for him, for us. You know, we don't hope not to have to travel too much, because we've got a lot of dirt races here in California that are important for us. So, looking forward to that.
Style-wise, talk a little bit about Florent Giroux, and he had regularly, Peter, come from a little bit further back. You might think of him as kind of a mid-pack stalker type, and here he stayed in fairly close contact with the leaders. Was that by design, or the way Florent just spilled out of the gate from the outside?
Well, he come out of it, he's fresh. We like the mile and eighth, because that would hopefully give us a slower pace, and he can be more forwardly placed. Because I didn't want to put him in against the quicker horses, the mile 16 types that are going to push him back so far. I think he wants to be involved in the race. He enjoys that more. The outside draw was kind of a little bit of a drag, but he also loves being on the outside, and a couple scratches sure was helpful to draw in. I don't think he tried to have him up any closer, just trying to make that first turn where we didn't lose so much ground. Because if you lose it in the first turn, you're definitely going to lose it in the second turn. So Flo rode him to a T. He learned a little bit about him. He's not to make the lead too early with him. He gets a little squirrely. But it was a blessing to get Flo to ride him, because we were pretty much waiting on Mike or Joel, and both of those two were already committed for that day. And then when Santa Anita closed, I'd already given the call out. So it worked out good for Flo and for myself.
And, of course, for owner Gary Broad. And I got to, you know, obviously we're going to talk about the Santa Anita situation and how much training, you know, might have been compromised. One thing that I brought up, I can tell you, on Friday with Marcus Hirsch, when we were looking at the races, Peter, because, of course, you also brought Slew Good to Be True for the Oaks. And the fact that you had to go over to Los Al with both of these horses, I thought might have been a potentially a bit of a positive for the long stretch. And of course that crazy layout at Los Al, and then of course you got the long, right? You got 1,308 feet of stretch at Fairgrounds. And so I thought maybe the two works that both of the horses had across town at Los Alamitos might have been a little helpful in terms of staying on at the end.
Well, I mean, the way Santa Anita is right now, I mean, it's a good couple seconds slower. Both training track and main track are very slow. We didn't know what direction things were going to go. So I brought 15 over there, and they trained really well. We're just curious whether they got enough out of them. That's a very fast racetrack. Everything works fast over there. You see that. It just has a lot of bounce to it. So in the back of my mind, and I know I had a lot of work here at Santa Anita before we got over there, but I was still concerned whether he got enough out of those last two works. But obviously, he overcame my training.
You're funny. What do you foresee? We'll talk about the filly too, but what do you foresee for Core Beliefs? You know, there's plenty. Again, there's plenty of opportunity. Well, there's some opportunity going forward into the spring and summer if you stay on the West Coast, but it feels like you might want to shop around for some opportunities as the year unfolds.
Well, I mean, me and Mr. Broad haven't spoke a lot, but the one thing we do, we're on the same page, is to keep him fresh. And that being said, we wouldn't want to jump on a plane in 4 weeks or 5 weeks and head east again. I mean, there are a lot of temptations, but I got to talk to him. I mean, there's obviously in 60 days, we have the Gold Cup here. That could be very interesting to see what happens. And the big cap here coming up shortly at Santa Anita. So, and then obviously there's a lot of horses that are shipping to Dubai, and that'll take up some of the depth. So that could be something. 8 weeks is a long time to come off of and then run a mile and a quarter. But, you know, he does run well fresh. We've seen that. So that could be one option. We haven't really delved that deep yet. Just kind of see how he comes out. He's flying back today, or tomorrow actually, and we'll kind of evaluate him at that point.
Yeah, and of course, you know, assuming things smooth out the way everybody hopes, they'll run the classic at Santa Anita and the Breeders' Cup, and it'd be nice to run out of your own stall for that kind of an opportunity.
It surely would, that's for sure. I can't tell you how much easier it is on them, and he seems to like this racetrack. It's in good shape too, if everybody needs to know that. I mean, it's the cautions that we're going through right now, I think, are all proactive, and it's cross our fingers everything's safe and sound from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely. On that, since this comes up, you know, Peter, you're a veteran horseman, and the horseman can adjust to any circumstances. Talk about these last several weeks from any standpoint, as well as your thoughts about the rash of rule changes and what it'll take for the industry, for the horsemen, for owners, how you've been discussing it with them, and your thoughts.
Well, I mean, we entered for Friday. We feel that things are going to go on. We feel that the 16 inches of rain took its toll, I'm sure, on the horses. This base, in my opinion, probably isn't meant for that kind of downpour. Mr. Dennis has came back. He's our track superintendent. He's doing an excellent job. He always has. And he's making it a very safe racetrack. And I think that's all that my owners expect of it. And the rest of it is for people to have confidence enough to bring horses here and make Santa Anita the way it was and still is. So as long as they race here, I'm not going anywhere. And I don't think anybody else is, too. We just need to have people and other trainers to come in to support it. And I think that'll happen as long as, things stay well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what else to tell my clients other than to have faith, you know, that Sandlin's been here since, the 30s? And let's hope it stays, a whole lot longer.
What would you change? How would you adjust to not having race day Lasix? What's your thoughts?
Well, we're going to have race day Lasix for a while still. I mean, granted, it's going to be interesting in the year of 2020 when the 2-year-olds won't have it. And then as the 3-year-olds, it's not going to affect them too much because everybody's on the same playing field. But it's going to be a challenge when you do get a horse that does, you know, trickle, meaning slightly bleed. But we're going to have to figure out what to do. And that's going to be a bit of a challenge. But for right now, I mean, 5 cc's of Lasix should be adequate. And we're going to do the best we can. Maybe have to space your horses apart a little more that do have a tendency, which is fine with me. That'll obviously affect entries a little bit. But we'll just have to see what happens. I mean, I think we're all wanting the same thing here. And we'll see if it if there's a problem in the future.
Well, and everybody, you know, for the couple of years that the Breeders' Cup, they had the two-year-old, the restriction on Lasix for the two-year-olds. And, you know, we've gone through this discussion, and, you know, there are ways, you know, to approach it. So we'll just watch after Thursday. Let's get things back going on Friday, and we'll take it from there and see how other jurisdictions want to respond. But trainers, horsemen in general are remarkably resilient, and they'll adjust to whatever is going to transpire. You mentioned you entering for Friday, and of course that means Ashley Loves Sugar is back.
Yeah, he is. It's a good race. I mean, obviously a mile and a half is about as far as he wants to go. And they got a great rider on him with great hands, and he's never been on him before, not even in a workout. But I think he's ridden enough of these kind, and I love the draw. You get to kind of see how it unfolds on the inside. He's in the sixth hole of six horses, and he seems to be doing very well, you know, for an 8-year-old especially. He's happy. He's we'll just see if we can get him to coach along that extra quarter.
Well, it's a good way to start it off, the San Luis Rey, the grade two, and it is a nice field of six. So, Peter, I appreciate, as always, the visit, and delighted to have Core Beliefs start the year with that kind of a performance. It bodes well going forward. What about the filly? What do you do next with Slew Good to Be True? I thought she had a look in there, Peter.
You know, I just think the track might have been a little bit cuppy for her, and it was very sandy as it got later in the day. It was kind of warmer, and you know, as soon as, I mean, on the bridle she was doing fine, but when he turned her head loose a little bit, she kind of bobbled a few times, like, ah, this is tough to get through, you know. Not, she's young and she's not used to anything but tighter racetracks, but you know, we'll just have to bring her back home. She didn't, she's clean, she's healthy, well, clean. We'll bring her home and just kind of take a step back and see if what we're going to do. We might even give her a challenge on the grass if that comes up. But I think her style fits that too.
Excellent. Well, a good fun trip. And I read where it was your first time ever in New Orleans for any reason.
I was there way back 35 years ago for the Super Derby, and I think that was at Louisiana Downs.
Louisiana Downs, yeah.
Yeah, but I never left either the racetrack or my hotel. I was only a kid at the time, so it was fun. I mean, the food was amazing. The people were fun. I mean, the music was great. We went and listened to some jazz at a few places, and we had a great time. I was there through from Wednesday on with Brittany and my wife, and we just had a blast.
That's great. So worked a little vacation in, and then you get to take home a trophy on top of it.
There you go.
I love it. Who were you working for somebody back then? Who were you working for that you went to the Super Derby?
I was exercising horses at the time. Wow. For Art Laurel. He's passed away since, and that's where we went with. It was fun. It was part of what I did before I started training horses, galloped horses, rode horses, but I'm having a lot more fun now than I did at any time when I was exercising.
No doubt. The hot and dirty versus, you know, versus clean and posing for photos. I love it. Peter, yeah. Thank you so much. Looking for, I'll be out there next week. We'll see you. We'll see you for Derby week.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Always a pleasure. Peter Ertin, everybody. And if you didn't see that video, it's adorable, of Brittany. And I've got a wonderful picture from, I guess it's, let's see, it would have been, which Breeders' Cup? It's got to be two or three Breeders' Cups ago. So, I'm trying to think of who... Champagne Room, I'm going to guess. Probably Champagne Room when she won the Juvenile Fillies. And I'll, no, it's not this phone. This is the new phone, but I got to dig that up. Brittany Ertin was a mess. She was sobbing. It was sweet. It's pretty cool. If you've never seen it, but watch the video from Saturday, and she goes running to find her dad. We're going to, we can see, looking at the clock, we got Larry Jones for like 45. So, all right, we'll probably go right back to California. I'll see. We'll make a decision here while we're gone, but... down in Florida, and happy to be here. Happy that Case is on the other side of the glass. Stay with us. Larry Jones will close out the show. We'll talk about the upset of the Fairgrounds Oaks. I think he's won, what, four of them? And big win for Sophie Doyle. That was great. But one, we'll get a visit in between. Back after this.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm talking people about the same old game. They're running them numbers and the winners have a shame. The dice is loaded and the deck is stacked. The game itself will hold you back. Check out your mind and don't be blind. The numbers game. What I say.
We're back at the races. Let's dive into, as we wait for a couple of minutes here, and we'll catch up on some news and a couple of sad notes actually that you may not have seen. The word came about a week after the passing, but William Wolfendale the third, Wolf, 74. And it passed on the 18th. And, of course, sympathies to the Wolfendales, the family at large, of course. Sorry to see this. And, you know, Wolfendale, from that pretty pronounced and glorious era of Maryland horsemen with Dick Dutrow and Buddy Delp and John Tamaro and King Leatherberry, and he was, you know, he was one of those trainers that made the transition. And in fact, we had this conversation come up fairly recently about, you know, how hard it was, one of the real challenges for horsemen to, you know, come from the West Virginia circuit and make it to Maryland and be successful. And Wolfendale absolutely did. First win came in 1966. And he was young too. He was, started at like age 20, owning training. So, sad note there. And also, coming out of the HBPA convention, I saw the note from Eric Hamelbeck that Richard Yates, who's a British Columbia, Western Canada horseman, and it had been really an integral part of the HBPA's north of the border. A heart attack on Friday. Really sad. And I'm sure next time we talk to Eric, he'll... He's worked with him these last 4 years, and some really nice quotes are coming when Hastings season opens. So they're going to do something there, and really somebody that worked hard for the horsemen of not just of Western Canada, but the horsemen of Canada in general. So Richard Yates suddenly with no warning. Very tough. Save that for Larry. And speaking of with the jocks and with the PDJF fundraisers these next couple of weeks, the telethon next Sunday, but tonight at Frank and Dino's, Martin Garcia is coming back. And he's ready to go. You've probably seen a couple of shots from the photographers in and around Santa Anita. And Garcia, has been, I guess he just got clearance on Friday. So he's excited, as always. These guys, nothing worse than sitting out. And nobody likes to spend too much time on the bench. And his first win back, by the way, will be win number 1,500. And Martin Garcia, as long as it feels like he's been around, he's only 34. He said, what did you do? I didn't do anything. I just wanted to stay home and recover. And you know, he had a very incomplete year last year. And so it's great to get him back. He was in the midst of returning from the injury and then got hurt again. So Martin Garcia, you'll see him again very shortly in your PPs. So you can Jim Cassidy's ready for us, Case. So we'll get Jim in here right ahead of a visit from Larry Jones, and we'll let me just tell him that we're calling. Casey calling. There you go. Appreciate Jim Cassidy. You know, I obviously not going to have time to do it today, but I sat down with last year's American Horse Council, the report from the research that they did in 2017, and the economic impact survey, and we're gonna hit a bunch of the highlights here during the week. Also expecting a visit from Dr. Alday. I want Steve to talk about a few of the topics that we're dealing with right now, and he'll explain, you know, from his vantage point, the bifosphonate discussion and so much more. Jim Cassidy joins us. We never got a chance to talk last week with our situation, but Jim is, of course, you know, joined us now a couple of times toward the decision making and the progress toward the resumption of racing at Santa Anita. Jim, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. Looking forward to getting out there. And, of course, you guys, I'm sure everybody's looking forward to Friday and trying to get a sense of normalcy back.
No question. Absolutely. Yes.
You wanted to wait a week ago Friday until you had the weekend to have the meeting with the horsemen and then the follow-up after the Stronach group had announced their garden list of changes. You struck a deal with them that seems very practical and pretty much has been widely hailed, I think. Some thoughts about where things are with that arrangement, the meeting on Thursday with CHRB?
Well, you know, it was tough to get what we got, but we were successful in getting Lasix back to a smaller dose and things along those lines. But it was a difficult meeting. However, it's done, hopefully, and the CHRB meeting is this Thursday, and they're going to implement the rules, apparently, that along with the jockey's use of the whip. And hopefully everybody will settle down by then, and we'll go on from there. But there's a lot of people still not really happy, but you know how things are with change. People don't like change too much, but it is what it is, and this is what something has to be. We have to go forward with. I mean, not for anything else, but for perception. It's not. It's not so much as anything was wrong before. It's just now. It's pretty much cut to the bone of what can be done and what cannot be done.
Jim, the one problem with this, and you know, the whip thing kind of came out of left field, and you know, the jocks are going to have to somehow adjust. I mean, a lot of them, I'll talk to Tony Black about this, but the muscle memory, you know, the inclination from years of training and practice, it will not be easy to adjust to. But how much concern do you have as the representative for the trainers, that with these cosmetic, in a lot of cases, changes and initiatives, it doesn't necessarily change what could happen as soon as Friday or even yet this morning. I mean, the horses, what are we going to do here if somebody goes wrong? I don't know how anybody's going to be able to explain it. I mean, we're having trouble explaining it to people now.
My conversations with Tim Ritvo yesterday, him and Chuck Winter, the CEO of this California Horse Racing Board, they've had discussions as to exactly what's going to happen and what they want. And gone from there, Tim said that he wants to make it very clear so the stewards really don't have to make a decision. So it's not a guessing thing. It's going to be very clear what they want and what they want to see. And, you know, I mean, it's like anything else, Steve. You know, some of the riders are going to be very upset about it, but you know as well as I do, people don't want to see horses struck. And sometimes you've seen it yourself. They overdo it.
Sure.
You know, when you see a horse five in front at the eighth pole and the guy's still hitting them, it doesn't make any sense. So, I see where they're coming from, and people just don't want to see it. They just don't want to see a horse getting beat up, even though the poppers in the whip now are supposedly just noise more than they are hurtful. They're just going to be allowed pretty much to maybe flag them. And keep the stick for safety reasons.
And I suppose as prompts for lead changes,
you're not going to be able to change the lead with a stick.
You can't. They're not even going to be able to tap to give a rubbing of the stick to get them to switch over.
I'm telling you the way it looks right now. unless some change comes before Thursday.
Wow.
They're supposed to hold the stick. Like I say, flag them. Maybe touch them on the shoulder a little bit, but that's about it.
Wow. All right. That's a whole different kettle of fish.
It's going to be a difficult thing because you're going to find gamblers going nuts because the horse could have won if they think the horse could have been strapped. And so on and so forth, it's a different world we're dealing with right now.
Well, and Jim, from the medical side of things and the medication side, cutting the Lasix in half, just had Peter Hurton, and he didn't think that the half dose is going to be a problem. Your thoughts on where the conversation went on the Lasix front?
Well, I mean, at first it was going to be no Lasix at all.
Right.
And then it was some talk about maybe starting with the 2020 foals. And from what I understand, Belinda didn't want to hear anything about that. That's too far off. So as of right now, it's the 2018 foals,
right,
that be on the ground in 2020, and they'll get no Lasix from then on out. And the 5 cc's was a we got to help somehow, and these horses are, you know, they're indeed a great deal of bleeders, whether they it's the environment that does it or not. I don't know. You know, they can say what they want, but it's hard to say. These horses have been on Lasix for so long that taking them off, I think, would be a crutch. And you know, people are going to say, well, if they're that bad, they shouldn't be running. But it isn't that they're that bad. It's just more preventive thing, so more so they don't bleed, because you don't want them to bleed out the nose and maybe choke to death or something like that.
Nope.
So it's more of a preventive thing Anything else?
Sure. Well,
and the argument about that them covering up other drugs has been proven wrong. And the argument about them having anything to do with breakdowns has been proven wrong. So there you have it.
Well, and that gets us, you know, that gets us to the last several days, and it's been pretty copacetic from what we can tell. Any further thoughts about between now and Friday? Particularly, Jim. I mean, the pressure I imagine on everybody with the resumption of racing Friday. I mean, it's got to be. There's got to be a tremendous amount of pressure involved with this resumption.
Well, there is. They're double-checking, triple-checking the horses. They watch the horses. They have a couple of vets on the grounds every morning at the gaps watching the horses come on and go off. you have to put in a list of horses to work 48 hours in advance so they can go through them. If they flag any horses, they'll call you and tell you you can't work unless the vet looks at it first. Any horse that's been off for any bit of time before he can work has to be examined by a veterinarian. And they did have a list out yesterday where the veterinarians had to check every horse. Your own private vet had to check the horses before they worked or before the list or before they were entered to run. And now that's been taken off the table, apparently. It's it brought up too many problems. So, and they're checking it twice and doing it best they can. And like we've had our meetings with the trainers, and we told them about the responsibility they have, and I think quite a few of them understand it. There are certainly those that don't like anybody telling them what to do, but you know, it's an age where you have to be very careful.
No doubt. And I'll be out there next week, and some of the specifics could be discussed, I suppose, better in person, and maybe with something of a round table. There were some checks and balances that were going on under the previous administration, frankly, from the racing department that basically prevented a certain number of horses from even being on the grounds and being involved in competition at Santa Anita. And that, I'm sure, contributed to the low fatality totals from the previous 2 years. So, clearly there was a floodgate of some ilk that was involved in this cluster. We'll save more of the follow up, Jim, for when I'm out there. I want to ask you a racing question. Let's get everybody excited about Friday and talk about. I had Ashley Love Sugar discussed just now with Urton. What about Epical on Friday?
Oh, he's a nice horse. He's a lovely horse. He does everything he's supposed to do. He loves the distance. I think he could run 2 or 3 miles if he wanted to. He's doing well, so I'm looking forward to it. That race was pushed off because of the cancellations, and that kind of left me up to dry. I wasn't sure what to do with him, but he seems to be coming around pretty good for the race, so. We'll see how we go on Friday. It should be fun.
Best of luck, and of course, Deron Pearson and the Uncle Mo son, Epical. Jim, I know it's been unbelievably tough on everybody. The industry appreciates, your role in standing up for horsemen and owners and the horse players. And best of luck Friday, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks very much.
I appreciate it. Jim Cassidy, everybody, who's as respected and appreciated as any horseman anywhere. We'll stay right here, and we'll close out the last 10, 12 minutes with a visit that I It's been so long, and it's my fault. I should have called Larry Jones well before this, because Larry was warming up in the last year plus. I saw what was going on, and now he's back winning on a regular basis. Races like the Fairgrounds Oaks on Saturday, the upset with Street Band, and this is one that he and Cindy bred in partnership. Larry, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back on your show.
I don't know what it is. It's Brary Jones and Larry Jones. You get an Airdrie stallion and the mare that you campaigned, and it all works great. What a nice win this was. And Sophie Doyle, I mean, that smile, they should put on a stamp.
Absolutely. I think she was pretty happy. We was awful proud to have her on here. As I told her, I said, this is kind of the same way Rosie and Provident got started. She had Believe You Can for the Fairgrounds Oaks and then carried on to the Kentucky Oaks. So hopefully Sophie can follow in those same footsteps.
How about that? Talk about this filly and the progress that she's made.
Well, you know, as I said, yeah, as you had said, she's from our own mare, and this mare's baby's just, it takes them a while to mature. But we could tell that this foal was a little better than some of the others that she had had. Her mother was the first crop of the Street Cries, and she was extremely fast, same year as we had Hard Spun, and she could actually make Hard Spun work. So, so we was really high on the mare, but like I said, finally it looks like she's come through and had a really good, useful foal. We're happy to go.
It's your own program. You can't do better than that. And tell us about Ray Francis, who's in on the mare and on the horse.
Well, he's been a head of horses with me since the early 2000s, maybe even back in that far away in the 1900s. He was part of Oasis Racing Stable that campaigned a horse called Ruby's Reception that had won the Fantasy. Actually, it was the very first horse I ran in the Breeders' Cup. So he's been partners on some horses for a very long time. He stuck with us, and he really liked this mare as well. It was actually an Oasis Racing filly as who Street Minstrel was. And so him and I wound up going in partners and hanging on to her. And so hopefully now it looks like it's paying off. And as you said, we had always boarded her at Airdrie Stud. And so she had been out there ever since her retirement. And it's really good. And we needless to say, we bred her most of the time to Airdrie Stallions. And we were lucky enough to get in and made the mating with Istan, and it looks like it worked.
Unbelievable. And you know, also looking at her, I mean, she did break her maiden going six at Ellis Park, and where you cut your teeth, of course, and it does feel like she was crying out for more distance this whole time. You know, the two turns, and I'm going to guess the mile and an eighth when we get to Churchill, it really is going to suit her.
I think it really will. I don't have a problem with that at all. You know, we've had some Istans definitely go that mile and an eighth. And then out of this mare, yeah, the farther the better on that. So it's, we're looking forward to it.
Well, and then there's Sophie Doyle, and I'd like the tie-in. That's a great tie-in when you think about Rosie Napravnik. And you know, how many years have we been talking about you and fillies? There's just not that you don't do well with the, you mentioned Hardspun, you do well with boys, but the Philly Oaks Trail seems like it's got a special affinity with you.
Well, we've been very fortunate, and I don't know what would make it, what makes the Phillies, you know, that makes me any different than anyone else. But when you look at all of our best horses, most of them have been fillies, and we're very proud of that. It's we're good, and if that's the way it keeps rolling from now on out, I'm good with that too.
Then what's the difference? It's fine, you know. And there was a horse the other, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think. And I'm on the road, so I don't have it at the ready, Larry. But you won. Was there a small stake a couple of weeks ago that and I said I should call Larry Jones, and I didn't get a chance then? What was that? What did you win?
Well, to be honest with you, I really don't know. We had a big day at Oaklawn here just last weekend on Rebel Day. I was very fortunate. We had one of our horses win a $100,000 maiden race. It's like I have hauled all over the country for 50,000 added stakes, and right here are $100,000 maiden races. And I was very fortunate that day. I had when Mr. Porter from Fox Hill allowed me to go buy horses for him a couple of years ago. We were fortunate enough to get three horses out of book one at the Keeneland sales. All three horses were in here that day on that Saturday. Battle of the Bulge won $100,000
maiden race. There you go.
Nifty ran second and was kind of eliminated at the start. He was I felt like the best horse in the race. And then we were fortunate enough to buy that horse called Omaha Beach that won the Rebel for Mr. Porter. So out of the three horses we bought out of book one, we had two wins and a second. And it was a very good day for all of the Fox Hill Farm connections. And and we getting to be a part of it was really good.
Absolutely. And the other one that we didn't isn't even right here to talk about, but Super Steed, right? That he's sidelined, but
Super Steed's pretty handy. We're pretty proud of him as well. And you know, it's fortunate enough I trained his mother. And it was one that I had bought for Mr. Presley, we've had a very blessed year so far. It's things are going good, and we're enjoying it. I'll tell you.
Well, and you know, it doesn't feel like it, but it had been before Super Steed's Southwest win, and now this win in the Fairground Oaks. It had been 3 years between graded stake drinks for you since I'm a chatterbox.
It seems like a very, very long time ago. But yes, I'm a chatterbox. I guess, when she won the grade one spinster before the Breeders' Cup, I guess that was probably our last, definitely our last grade one win and last great win, yeah.
Well, and you know, looking at those Oaks, you know, all the Oaks wins, including Lovely Maria, and that was certainly a special day. And you've made a habit, of bringing less known riders, right? That was Boo Boo. That was Boo Boo Clark, and
right.
You know, Gabe Saez is going to get back to a Derby, and you. Both of his Derby mounts with you, and so that's to your credit, actually. A lot of people, the phones start ringing. You know, when you go from the grade two to the big stage, and you've made a couple of very special career moments for a number of riders.
Well, I thank you very much. You know, we do have the philosophy that whoever brings you to the dance is who you'd be dancing with. And all of those people, they're all good riders, maybe not the most famous riders of all time, but most of my owners allow me to go ahead and stay with the team that got them there. I'm very fortunate for that. Yes, and all these riders are quite capable. All they need is a good horse. And I'm so proud for Sophie. I was probably more smiling and tickled for her than at anything else. It just I really enjoyed her being a part of this. Yeah.
Well, and she'll get ready when you wrap up. How many horses are you holding at Oaklawn, and how quickly will you get back to Kentucky?
Well, we have 17 here right now, and the New Orleans string, they're starting to ship today. We're starting the migration process from there, and they will be doing the Keeneland meet from there. The Oaklawn horses will be getting in for the beginning of the Churchill meet. And so because with the purses at Oaklawn, there's no reason to hurry to be anywhere else. And the Oaklawn horses will stay here until Churchill's ready, and then we'll gather together again up there.
Well, the only other thing I want to throw at you is Havre de Grace and the Hall of Fame vote. You're writing a speech for August at Saratoga?
Well, it would sure be nice to get to do it. And I'm sorry for being ignorant. When is the voting supposed to be over?
I'm going to guess another 10 days. I think it's got to be in by April 1st.
Well, I would sure love for everybody to vote for anybody that's listening that gets to vote. We sure think she's Hall of Fame material. And if nothing else, she's Hall of Fame material just for being able to overcome my training and to reach those calibers. So that shows you how special she was. So, yes, it would be great to get to go up and attend her inauguration into that.
Well, and by that time, you might be piloting this filly to the Alabama Stakes. So you might be around anyway for the summer at Saratoga. Larry, I appreciate this so much. Very happy for everybody.
Steve, thank you. Always a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully it won't be so long next time.
Exactly. Larry Jones and Cindy Jones and their partner. What a nice win this was. And she won well. And for Sophie Doyle, great. This went by, as always, in a flash. They continue to breeze over at Gulfstream. We'll see how much longer that's going to go. I'm going to try to get over a sale, 2:00 on Wednesday tonight we almost got to Carlo. We ran out of racetrack, but tonight at Frank and Dino's in Boca, PDJF fundraiser. Try to come out. Want to thank Larry Jones and Jim Cassidy, Peter Erton, Kip Elser, Brett Calhoun, and Johnny D, and most of all Casey right there across from me. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9, here on Sirius XM. The podcast should deliver like normal, right? Yes? All right. All of that back into the flow. And actually, we're running at 1:00, 1:20, I think. Safe trip to Just Enough Hope. She's in the second. She's favored. I don't know if she'll go off favored, but she's the morning line favorite. So Mikey Farrow is going to send her out. And hope for the best. Let's get her to break her mate. Come on, she's been doing so well. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Happy to be back here at the studio, the mixing lab, uptown. Talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people. 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips plus sire stats for only $275 per year. And it's available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why brisnet.com is the handicapper's edge.